Okay, alrighty. Good afternoon. My name is Dave Johnston. I'm with the Hawaii Department of Health Disease Outbreak Control Division. And today I'm just going to be talking briefly about a dengue fever outbreak that we had this past year. So dengue fever, also known as breakbone fever, is a disease caused by any of the four closely related viruses, dengue virus 1 through 4. These are arboviruses spread by mosquitoes, primarily those of the Aedes genus, with Aedes aegypti being considered one of the most efficient, although other species in that genus are also competent vectors, such as Aedes albopictus. The most common symptoms of dengue include fever, severe headache, pain behind the eyes, joint, muscle, and bone pain, rash, and mild bleeding. The symptoms usually resolve in 1 to 2 weeks, but sometimes it can progress to a more severe form known as severe dengue. Dengue most commonly occurs in tropical Asia, Africa, the Caribbean, and the South Pacific, and it's estimated that there are over 100 million cases a year worldwide. Dengue is not endemic in Hawaii, but the mosquitoes that carry it are. Aedes aegypti have been identified in certain parts of the state, specifically on parts of the Big Island, the island of Hawaii, which is also known as the Big Island, which is the southeasternmost island there. And Aedes albopictus has been identified statewide. Now, although dengue is not endemic, there are imported cases every year, either in residents returning home or visitors from either side of the Pacific visiting our state. Over the past 10 years, the number of cases we've had each year has ranged from about 4 to 14. And although it rarely happens, sometimes these imported cases can trigger an outbreak of locally transmitted cases, such as was the case in 2011 with a small outbreak of about 5 cases on Oahu. And in 2001, there was a larger outbreak on Maui and several other islands. The outbreak I'm reporting on today was first identified in October of 2015. On October 21st, we received a report of a positive dengue IgM result for a Hawaii Island resident that had no travel history and also reported family members suffering a similar illness. This report seemed to strongly suggest that there was local transmission occurring, so we launched an investigation in order to determine the scope of the outbreak, and we began to work with our county partners in control and response activities. Subsequently, we received other reports that strengthened our suspicion of local transmission and suggested that cases were relatively widespread. One report came in on the 24th, and that was of several visitors from the mainland U.S. that had been traveling together on the Big Island, several of whom had developed a febrile illness that was consistent with dengue fever. And then on October 27th, we received another positive dengue IgM result from a Big Island resident that was unrelated to the previous case. So to identify additional cases, medical advisories were distributed to healthcare providers statewide on October 29th and November 5th. To identify potential cases and travelers that had been in Hawaii, a call for cases was posted on EpiX on October 30th. We asked clinicians to report any patients without an underlying etiology that presented on or after September 1st, 2015, with acute onset fever and at least two of either headache, retroorbital pain, nausea, myalgias and or arthralgias, or generalized maculopapular rash. All suspect cases were interviewed using standardized questionnaire, and serology and PCR testing was performed in-state at our state laboratories division. As part of our response activities, as soon as a suspect case was identified, even before they were confirmed, their information was passed on to our vector control branch so that they could have their staff assess mosquito activity at the case's residence and perform abatement, which consisted of spraying a 25-yard radius of adulticide around the case's residence in order to reduce the number of mosquitoes there. Additionally, the vector control staff also conducted larval surveys and larvaciding of properties that were within 200 yards of the case's residence, so about 2 football fields. In addition to that, they also provided information on how to reduce mosquito breeding areas and how to protect oneself from mosquitoes. So as of April 22nd, 2016, we had evaluated 2,045 potential cases of dengue. Of those, 264 were identified as laboratory confirmed via either PCR or serology. The onset dates of the confirmed cases range from September 11th, 2015 through March 17th, 2016. And as you can see on the epi curve here, the peak of the activity was around the end of October, beginning of November, But activity was fairly constant across that entire time period. So looking at the cases, the confirmed cases in a little more detail, the median age was 35, with the majority of the cases being adults, although there were 17% that were less than 18. They were evenly split between males and females. And the vast majority of the cases, at 90%, were Hawaii residents. And specifically, all of these, 100% of the Hawaii residents, were residents of the island of Hawaii. So the other states, or other islands in the state, were just not represented there. There were only 26 cases that were non-Hawaii residents, and that included both U.S. travelers and international travelers. 37 of the cases required hospitalization, with a median length of stay of 2 days. None of them progressed to severe dengue, and there were no deaths. One interesting detail about our cases was that when we were looking at the racial distribution, we found that there was a statistically significant higher proportion of whites among our cases when compared to the racial distribution of the population of the Big Island. We suspect that this is acting as a proxy for something else, either some behavior or activity that increased their exposure risk, but specifically what that would be, we are not certain. So during our interviews with cases, we collected an exposure history. We asked where they had been, places they had visited in the 3 to 10 days before illness onset, where they worked, went to school, etc. And we mapped out these locations in order to identify potential areas of disease transmission. As part of our public outreach, we published a map online each week that had these data for the most recent cases to give an idea of where current activity was occurring. And so I put these together in a time-lapse map here so you can see the progression of the general progression of the outbreak. And what we noticed was that on the west side of the island and around the Kailua Kona, South Kona area, there was almost constant activity. We would see activity elsewhere, like on the east near Hilo or in the north or south, but the activity there would kind of flare up and then die down, whereas activity on the west was constant throughout the entire outbreak. And even up to the last few cases that we had, they reported exposures in that location. So all the cases that had specimens that were able to be tested and typed were identified as dengue type 1. There was no index case identified, but sequencing of specimens suggests that it was the result of a single introduction as opposed to multiple separate introduction events. The sequencing also identified them as an Asian genotype, but we were not able to get a more specific origin than that. So this outbreak, with 264 confirmed cases, was the largest dengue outbreak that Hawaii has had since 1944. But with the frequency of global travel and the number of visitors that Hawaii receives each year, Hawaii is constantly at risk for the introduction of additional cases of dengue or other arboviral diseases such as Zika or chikungunya. This is why assuring timely notification from clinicians and labs regarding suspect cases and immediate and aggressive coordinated epidemiological investigation and vector control responses are essential at preventing these diseases from establishing themselves in Hawaii. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for a couple of questions.
Dave Atherton, Florida Department of Health. I'm thinking about the first case you identified or that was identified back in October of 2015, and I think that's often the challenging one because if it's not endemic or there isn't an outbreak and they're not testing for it. And I'm wondering if you know anything about why that person was tested. Was it just a good physician who was on top of it, or was there another reason?
Actually, I'm not exactly sure what led to that individual case being tested. The symptoms are fairly general. Dr. Park, do you happen to know more about?
Sarah Park, state epidemiologist for Hawaii. And so that first case, apparently, the only reason why she presented to her physician 2 weeks into her illness was because she had a rash. She developed a rash. So she'd actually been ill a bit before and then presented with a rash. The clinician, actually, many of our clinicians just think about dengue, lepto, and typhus, all three, even though we're not endemic for dengue. And so it's not uncommon for them to sometimes request a dengue test, although a lot of times we say no, it's not needed when we start investigating. This case, obviously, it was. And unfortunately, when we tracked back, we found more cases.
Thank you.
Okay, and I apologize. In the interest of the other presentations, we'll have to defer other questions until after the talk. Thanks.